Africa's News Roundup. Africa's News Roundup. Only on Channel Africa from the African perspective. The African perspective.
Good evening and welcome to this week's edition of African News Roundup. I'm Kumbero Munjerere. With just a few days to go before South Africans head to the polls, the country's Electoral Commission launched the National Results Operation Center for the 2019 national and provincial elections in the country's capital, Pretoria. The center brings together all key stakeholders in the elections under one roof to oversee the collation and finalization of the election results and has been a feature of South Africa's elections for the past 20 years. Our reporter Nhlanhla Mahlangu worked this story for us and she compiled this report.
The National Results Operation Center for the 2019 national and provincial election leaders has officially been opened. The center houses members of the commission, along with key operational areas of the Electoral Commission, representatives of the 48 political parties contesting the national elections, domestic and international observer missions, and members of the media. It is complemented by 9 provincial results operation centers from where the provincial election results will be monitored. Over 700 journalists have applied for accreditation for the National ROC, with a further 700 accredited for provincial ROCs. The National Results Center will also house the SABC radio and television news operations for elections, along with other media houses. Chairperson of the Electoral Commission, Glenn Mashinini, said the ROC was an embodiment of the electoral architecture to ensure inclusivity, transparency and credibility.
Providing transparency in an election helps to establish trust and public confidence in the process as it gives all stakeholders the ability to verify the results for themselves.
He has called on all registered voters to come out in their millions to cast their ballots on election day next week, promising a credible election outcome. The national and provincial ROCs will remain open until the announcement of the results of the elections scheduled for Saturday, the 11th of May. Reporting for Channel Africa, I am Nhlanhla Mahlangu in Johannesburg.
Now, political analysts have warned the South African government of a diplomatic disaster if it does not weigh in on what seemed to be an escalating tensions between Botswana and South Africa. This came after Botswana slapped one of South Africa's top mining businesswomen, Bridget Motsepe-Radebe, with travel restrictions after accusing her of being involved in a campaign to topple President Mokgweetsi Masisi. Botswana published a notice that Motsepe-Radebe will in future have to apply for visas to enter the country, contrary to what has been a norm, as South Africans did not require an advance visa when traveling to the country. To discuss the possible diplomatic fallout further, we spoke to Frank Likaba, South Africa's international relations expert.
I don't think to greater extent we can say it will be a diplomatic crisis, given the fact that President Ramaphosa, immediately after assuming power, he went, the first country to go to in SADC was Botswana, to lay down the basis of the South Africa's engagement that, and to assure the entire region that he will continue with the principles of South Africa's foreign policy engagement in the region and in the continent. So now, I think it's a serious issue, yes, but I think it can be handled diplomatically. I think Botswana and South Africa has more that kind of hostile relationship in as far as diplomatic engagement is concerned, to a point where we can say this might pose a serious diplomatic crisis. But it's a serious issue to be handled by care, by the Department of Foreign Affairs, particularly the minister or probably the DG there. But I don't think it's a big issue. Because remember, one of the diplomatic crises that we once experienced was between South Africa and Nigeria, around the issues of the yellow fever, the card. But that issue was amicably resolved, though it took some time. So I think this one, the spirit might apply. More so that Botswana is our close neighbor and a very key ally in SADC.
That's Frank Likaba, South Africa's international relations expert. Now, as Tuesday marked International Workers' Day, many trade unions across the world have pledged their solidarity to workers and their struggle to achieve fair employment standards. In South Africa, the unions have cited apartheid wage structure as one of their biggest challenges in the mining sector, adding that rock drillers are paid the least while mining executives continue to get paid large bonuses. As Tepomongwai reported for us, unions are still concerned about the miners' living conditions as well as their safety underground.
Despite being employed, South African mine workers continue to live under appalling conditions. Many mine workers wake up early in the morning to go to the depth of the earth to extract gold, diamond and platinum. They do this in the hope of securing a better life for their children and providing for their households. But 25 years into democracy, mine workers still bear the brunt of what unions term apartheid wage. David Tipumzi is the spokesperson of the National Union of Mine Workers.
In as much as they claim that commodity prices are low, but if you look at one of the CEOs in the mining industry, you find that that man alone earns more than 40 million rands in salary, excluding bonuses and shares, whereas it's difficult for them to give an increase of just a mere 1,000 rand to an ordinary employee. Therefore, the economy cannot be good for some and be bad for others.
The National Union of Metal Workers of South Africa, NUMSA, is the new entrant in the mining sector. Its Deputy President Andrew Chura says the consumer price inflation-linked wage increases is not working. NUMSA has also accused the mining corporation of failing to invest in the health and safety of its workers. Andrew Chira is NUMSA's deputy president.
Go and look at the workers who worked in the mine, who are working today. Those who worked in the mine, some of them have died out of TB-related, workplace-related diseases. Those who are working today continue to fight the same struggle of lower apartheid wages in South Africa. I'm very clear in my view, this is a systematic issue which the mining bosses, the industry, is responsible to address. If they wanted to address it, it will be addressed. I think they have no energy, they have no desire, their focus is simply on profit rather than ensuring that that profit is also shared with workers in the mining industry.
Chira says union operate in a hostile environment. This as workers are being victimized and fired for exercising their right to organize. I am Tepo Mungwai in Johannesburg.
Now, the World Health Organization, WHO, has urged the international community to step up support to contain the Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The United Nations Health Body concluded its visit to the country's Butembo city in the North Kivu province on Tuesday. It was in Butembo last month that WHO epidemiologist Dr. Richard Mozuko was killed by armed men while he and colleagues were working on the Ebola response. Channel Africa spoke to Tariq Jasarevich, spokesperson for the World Health Organization, on the line from Geneva, Switzerland.
Well, according to the latest figures provided by the Ministry of Health, since the beginning of the outbreak, there were 1,480 probable and confirmed Ebola cases, including 970 deaths. So these are the latest figures. We have seen increase in numbers in the past weeks. This is due to the fact that some activities have been suspended because of the attacks on health workers. Unfortunately, one of our WHO colleagues has been killed in an attack in Butembo, and therefore we have seen the intensification of the virus transmission in the communities in Butembo and Tatwa, which obviously then represents a greater risk of spread outside those areas and potentially cross the borders.
That's Tariq Jasarevich, spokesperson for the World Health Organization, on the line from Geneva in Switzerland. Now to Uganda, where prominent pop star and opposition parliamentarian Bobby Wine has been released on bail by a Kampala court on charges of incitement. Bobby Wine is alleged to have incited people to commit crime at an illegal assembly to commit violence. Our East Africa reporter James Shimanyula sent us this report.
Renowned Ugandan musician and opposition member of parliament Bobby Wine has been granted bail by a Kampala magistrate after denying an incitement charge through a video link. The video link was set up at a maximum prison in Kampala to avoid thousands of his supporters to throng the Kampala Magistrate Court, where he was to appear Thursday for bail application. Bobi Wine's case of incitement will come up for mention on the 16th of this month with a view to fixing a hearing date. Shortly after the court's ruling that Bobi Wine should be released on bail, hundreds of his supporters on motorbikes and cars celebrated in central Kampala as they eagerly waited for him to emerge from prison after fulfilling the process that led to his release on bail. Victory songs rent the air on roads leading to Bobi Wine's home on the outskirts of the Ugandan capital. Security was tight in all parts of Kampala. Reporting for Channel Africa, this is James Shimanyula.
And that's about it. Join us again next week as we bring you another wrap of the week's top stories. From me, Kumbaro Munjerere, goodbye for now.